back and let's go pop. Step back and let's go pop. Step back and let's go pop. Let's go.
Once again, welcome to Let's Go Pop. I'm your host, Rich Horton, taking you through another 55-minute to, hour or so, worth of great power pop music. If I sound a little, annoyed, this is the fifth take at an intro for this program. I guess I am just not feeling it today. I'm a tiny bit under the weather. You might catch that in my voice. Actually, it probably gives me great gravitas, great radio voice for a change, but it's a little distracting. Today we got a theme. We've kicked it off with a great track from the Tweeds called I Need That Record, which is a part of the theme, because one of the subject matters that comes up often in power pop music is, of course, music itself, the central role that it plays in at least some of our lives. And what we want from it, what we need from it. Sometimes we're criticizing the music that we have around us for not fulfilling those needs, not living up to those sorts of expectations. But all of it is a sort of a meta view, right? We're standing back and we're looking at, it's music about music. And, you know, the Tweeds doing I Need That Record is certainly a part. I mean, that's the entry point, right? When you get bitten by the bug at some point in your life, right, you do feel like you need that. It's not a want. It's not necessarily just a desire. There's a need for something. And what was one of the great things about growing up when I did, right? Late 70s, early 80s is when I start getting into music. And, you know, that's still a world of record stores. It's still a world where, I mean, I can remember heading off in the middle of the night. I had very, very lax parents when it came to things like curfews. Basically, I didn't have one. And we had a late night record store, right? Someplace you could go at, you know, 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night, and just peruse and pick up something, head back home, put it on, get the headphones cranked out, and even then, still get bitched at by your parents for being too loud, even with the headphones on. I pay for that these days with the constant ringing in my left ear, but part of me, a small part of me, says it's worth it. So that's the kind of thing we're going to be looking at. And we're going to begin by looking at maybe the history of it. One of the participants looking back at this thing called Power Pop and thinking about and singing about, right, how we got here from there. And this is Paul Collins with the title track from a terrific album of a couple of years back called The Kings of Power Pop.
Long time ago, all across this land, rock and roll was hurting, it was feeling so bad. A couple of boys picked up their guitars, they couldn't really play, so they started writing songs. They were the kings of power pop. At first it wasn't easy, cause no one really cared. They kicked them out of everywhere, they kicked them down the stairs. Standing on the corner of Hollywood and Vine, listening to the man tell me rock and roll had died. They were the kings of power pop. It used to be so hard, eating beans and sleeping in cars. Turn the radio on, make you wanna scream. Then I heard the Ramones, rock and roll radio. My daddy, I still play my guitar, try to get it up to be a rock and roll star. Sometimes people, they remember me and tell me how great they thought I used to be. They were the kings of power pop. We could not tune our guitars, no one thought we'd go very far. But I got Friday on my mind. I wish I were the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, anything but to be sitting here alone. Some of us got lucky, some of us got fame, some of us are standing here with one foot in the grave. We were the kings of power pop. We were the kings of power, the kings of power, the kings of power.
from the album Incorporated, that was Splitsville with Brink. A little look at what it's like for the purveyors of this music. Between that and the previous Paul Collins song, you have a little bit of the scope of things, right? You have the insight, the view of somebody who was there, you know, really at the very start of it as a, well, it's a hot commodity, right? Late 70s, you know, Paul Collins beat, I mean, you really couldn't have been more emblematic of power pop in the, you know, late 70s, right? And then you have Splitsville, who, you know, very, very proudly carried the, you know, the torch in the late 90s and into the 2000s. In a, you know, a time when the, you know, you're laboring in a hell of a lot more obscurity. It's an interesting dichotomy in a lot of ways. That's right. I broke out dichotomy on you. To see, right, the view of it, right, from you have the you have the Paul Collins, right, he's recounting, you know, what it's like to be basically sort of pissed off with the way that music's going, and then getting a little glimmer of hope, and, you know, very much the you know, the DIY attitude, right? No, not knowing how to tune your guitar, right? But damn it all, if you're not going to go out and you're going to write songs. And then, of course, you have, you know, Splitsville, who are operating in a completely different world in some respects, right? But there definitely is a, you know, still that ethos of the DIY in that, hey, if you're going to make it, if you are going to produce the kind of music you want to produce, you got to take it into your own hands, right? You need to sort of make the world, the musical world, you want to populate, because, I mean, it's just not out there on its own. Right? And, I mean, really, you know, I mean, that's a theme in Splitsville's music that comes up more than once. I almost put in the song Forever off of their complete Pet Soul album. Because it's got a wonderful line of, this is something like, whatever happened to the sound, the scratch of the needle coming down. Maybe we started this too late. Right? And there's certainly that feeling that some of the, you know, more recent artists, you know, have about this. But and they're still doing it because they love it, and they still can find some audience out there that is also looking for exactly this kind of thing. And let's face it, you're just not getting it from a lot of other more sober, more somber, more serious-minded forms of music. You know, it's a little bit like a funeral dirge, some of the crap that is out there. And of course, you know, I mean, you run a risk when you're going to be highly critical, right? And we will get to some songs that are decidedly highly critical. But you know, always you got to go back to, you know, where it is that we're coming from. You know, if we're pissed off, if we're unsatisfied, it's because there has been stuff that was so satisfying. And you're looking for something like that again and not finding enough of it around. Yeah, that ticked me off too, right? Has ticked me off. And it's one of the reasons why I sort of, you know, threw myself into the sometimes desperately obscure world that, you know, I'm populating now. The payoffs are pretty damn good, though, right? The way I look at it, at least. Hopefully, some people who are listening to this type of stuff for the first time will discover that for themselves. And towards that end, let's get back to a song that revels in the joy of just music and and how much it means. You know what? This is going to go to 2000. The name of the band is The Figs. The Figs, of course, are played every episode of Let's Go Pop because I use their cute little song, Let's Go Pop, as my theme music. But it's only fitting that if I'm talking about joy in music, that I bring out one of their fine examples. And this is from the album Sucking in Stereo. By the way, one of my favorite all-time albums and album titles. And this song is called Cheap Cassettes, right here on Let's Go Pop.
Cheap cassettes of Motorhead, cranking out, right out loud. Saw a man, he knew the sound, his record collection was well endowed. He turned my world upside down, showed me things I'd never found. Wish I had the tapes I sold from a long, long time ago. Cheap cassettes of Motorhead. No, 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 no. Cheap cassettes of Motorhead. No, 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 no. Many times the tape machine, it was going, going dead. Does it really now, if I clean the heads, it may never run again. And what would I do then? My cheap cassettes of Motorhead. No, 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 no. Cheap cassettes of Motorhead. We'll be right back.
All right, we started that set off with the Figs doing Cheap Cassettes. And we followed that up with a little bit of Hot Nun, Spirit of 76, from the terrific Hot Nun album, which came out a couple years ago. That's another side project for Jeff Shelton. Spinning Jennies and Well Wishers. I like Mr. Shelton's work. We play a lot of it on here, and for good reason, as far as I'm concerned. He's one of the most prolific and consistent purveyors of power pop music in the you can't avoid the the Posies comparison, but I mean at this point he's been doing stuff more consistently than the Posies have, to my way of thinking, he deserves to be thought of as his own entity these days, despite the sonic similarities that you can hear from time to time. We followed it up with a track from the album Oh Yeah, the Sponge Tones, doing Am I Dancing or What? Right? And that kind of marks our entryway into the, so to say, the more highly critical part of the program. And in some ways it's, a little bit more dangerous part of the program, because people will get all bent out of shape. The average music critic, right, say somebody who is working the one or two around the country working at daily newspapers and the more common variety working at various music magazines or maybe weeklies, who are plugged into the more mainstream music, would certainly have a field day if they heard the ruminations of the Sponge Tones, who are reveling in the fact that, they're not politicos, right? They're not hip. They are not of the moment, right? They are just demanding things from music before they're going to sit there and count it as anything necessarily all that worthwhile or interesting. And of course it marks them as being, right, totally reactionary, right, totally almost dangerously backwards, right? Which of course is complete and utter crapola, right? Particularly, they will laud and praise this music sometimes on the basis of the fact that it's harsh, right, that it's speaks truths, that it is uncompromising, right? Well, heaven for freaking bid that a power pop artist does the same thing, right, about the subject of music, right? Something that, they might actually care passionately about it. It might matter quite a bit to them, right? And, of course, the reason why the critic, right, can take that attitude is because deep down they don't necessarily give a shit about the music. It's one of the reasons why they're happier writing about expressly political artists, because it allows them to talk about politics, right? Maybe they don't really want to be discussing popular music. Maybe they would really much rather be working on a hard news item, right? But hey, you got to take the job you're given, maybe. There are lots of different ways in which you could find the critic a frustrated something else. So to my way of thinking, the Sponge Tones have a completely valid point of view. It's their point of view. It's a perspective. Right? And it's a perspective that's going to be shared by a lot of people who are attached to this kind of music. And there's something liberating about it. Right. And there's something decidedly nice about the fact that it's not defensive. Right? And basically, that's what we're going to be hearing. We're going to be hearing power pop music that's taking the offensive against stuff that's just crap. Things that are not life-affirming, shall we say, but in it's their own little ways soul-destroying. And, well, actually, from here to the end of the show, that's the kind of thing we're going to be listening to. And we're going to be starting off with some lamentations of what we're finding, what's being forced on us on the radio airwaves. This is courtesy of Owsley from his first record, Owsley. The first track on that, track number one, was Oh No, the Radio.
Follows me everywhere I go. Oh no, the radio
Yeah, I really wish these guys would, you know, get off the fence and tell us how they really feel about things. There was a threesome of some classic bitching. We ended there with Walter Clevenger, the Radio C, from his full Tilt and Swing album. Just love the, you know, just the line of the chorus, you know. The waves on the Radio C, making me sick. Yeah, they're torturing me. Before that, we heard the Hoodoo Gurus, Less Than a Feeling, off the album Crank. You just sort of see their dig at the way rock radio had turned into kind of a ossified, right, mummified, you know, remnant of you know, just classic rock, as if there hasn't been anything worthwhile listening to since about, oh, I don't know, 1975. Thus the play on the Boston sound and the wonderful imagery that that the song gives us, which goes, you know, right in hand with, you know, Owsley kicking off that threesome with Oh No, the Radio, where he laments that he'd settle for a bad reception and have to listen to the next selection. I think that's that's actually a difficulty, and I think it's one of the problems that I think the music industry has found itself in. They, I don't need, and I don't think radio ought to be necessarily challenging. But on the other hand, it needn't be as, you know, safe and warm as mother's milk, right? You can actually introduce people to some new things, right? Make it related to the stuff that they know. And let's face it, you know, most, you know, music that's being produced is related in some respect to something that came before. You know, the difficulty that you had is the, I mean, how many times can you really listen to Stairway to Heaven? Now, if Led Zeppelin is the be-all and end-all of your existence, then absolutely, you could probably listen to it an infinite number of times and not tire of it. But if you're a general music fan, of which something like Led Zeppelin is just one artist among many others that you can either take or leave, or maybe it's something that sometimes you're in the mood for and sometimes you're not, well, at a certain point, it's going to be, well, not in the mood for it almost all the time, and, you know, if a bout of nostalgia hits you, then you will consent to want to listen to it. That's terrible for a radio station. You have to wait until your audience is overcome by a wave of nostalgia before they want to turn you on. Right? Now, I know that they have some audience, but it's not that big. Right? Because it's not that entertaining. Right? It suits the temperament of some people who never like anything different from what they're already used to. And what's the joy in that? Right? All of a sudden, I got this stupid Expedia commercial going through my head. 85% of people travel someplace they've already been. Where's the fun in that? Well, it's sort of the same with music. And it isn't that you have to sort of throw out everything that you've known and everything that you've liked in order to embrace something that's new. No, when we say that it's new, it's just a new tune, a new artist, a new voice, a new perspective. Right? And it's probably still out there, right? Even in the sort of classic rock vein. Right? And really, if you think about it, power pop is in many ways, you know, just a subgenre. Right, of that, all right. They arise a little late in the game, right? The late '70s, but it's still in the heart of when a lot of those classic rock bands are, you know, still a going concern. Still in their, you know, they haven't even had their comeback yet, their first comeback of their many. So, it's not like that's, you know, this particular stuff is necessarily alien to them. I always really do think that these particular types of songs, the complaining about the state of music songs, I think, you know, if people heard them, I think they would be kind of drawn to them and attached to them. Right? Mostly because I think it would echo a sentiment that people must have had. Right? There are people out there who were listening to radio, right? They were buying music, and they largely stopped doing it. And it isn't just because, oh, well, you know, it became so much more available and free on the internet. That's garbage. It really is. You know, that can account for a small percentage, I'm sure. But most of the time, you know, people didn't mind buying a product, supporting a product. Particularly if you gave them something, if they got some value for their money. That's just kind of what they stopped doing. Right? It became, music can't be a service. Right? It can't be like buying a subscription, right, to, you know, satellite radio or something like that. That cannot be the be-all and end-all, or packaged to a streaming service or what have you. Right? That can't be what it's about. Right? Because if it is, it dies. It's dead. It's gone. Now, I'm standing up here. I guess my soapbox is probably about 7 foot tall. It's a large soapbox. But But I think I'm going to clamber down and finish up the program here. Right? We're going to end with a threesome. And I'm going to tell you about it because this is going to be, I'm signing off. I think the subject matter of this particular podcast has sparked me, has triggered my imagination, and maybe not necessarily in a good way, but hopefully it was in an entertaining way. I certainly felt, in many respects, this was probably the podcast that best exemplified. If you ever want to know, I mean, I taught at universities for 7 years. If you ever want to know what my classes were sort of like, all right, the subject matter was different, right? Talking about power pop here instead of talking about Plato. Right? But it's pretty much like this, only probably I'm cursing more often in my college classrooms. So you can tell I've hit upon something that I'm at least relatively passionate about, right? And we're going to reflect different aspects of that in the next three songs. We're going to kick it off with a terrific band called the Sugar Plastic and their title track from their first record, I believe. I think it is. Sometimes you don't know with some of these bands if they've been poking around before and have like EPs floating around that I've never found out about. But the title track from Radio Jejun is very fitting for the subject matter. And after that, we will be going to Milwaukee, listen to the Lack Loves with the Radio's Mine. And we're going to finish off on a little bit more of a hopeful note. Kind of a, just after all the complaining, after all the bitching and moaning, it's time to remember exactly what draws us here in the first place. And no song better encapsulates that for me than the title track from, as I said, my favorite album of the last 20 years. That's Eugene Edwards, My Favorite Revolution. And that, if that doesn't send you out with a smile on your face and a nostalgic glance back at your own musical history, then maybe nothing will. But if you haven't heard it, I almost envy you. Right, because here's the introduction to something that's really, really cool and really, really good. All right, that's going to do it for me. Another episode of Let's Go Pop down in the book. We will see you sometime in March. This will be it for February. I'm going to try hard to get back on a 3-show-a-month schedule starting in March. Got an extra couple days there compared to February, so hopefully I'll get it done. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time out. This is Rich Horton from the Pure Pop Pub, and Let's Go Pop saying cheers.
Please don't take my radio away. Thank you.
What's a mighty fine day for taking over airwaves? Oh, what a terrible way. Had to grow, don't you know? You never once complained. Whoa.
Shining groups. song to be sung when the tables turn, baby. It's my favorite revolution.